This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Okay, welcome to Place to Be Nation. This is Will, and this is Goodwill Wrestling. And today I am joined by my good buddies Dave from the Wrestling Culture Podcast and Pete from the Titans of Wrestling here on Place to Be Nation. And guys, yesterday we talked to our good buddy Johnny P, who happened to be the documentary maker of Barbed Wire City. So make sure you go check out Barbed Wire City. And we're trying to figure out if there have been any worst WrestleManias, but worse booking decisions than the decision this year to keep Daniel Bryan out of the main event of WrestleMania. And what's astonishing about the Daniel Bryan situation isn't that he's not in the world title match, but that he is not in any main event caliber match. He is in clearly one of the lower mid card matches when he's most when he's arguably your most popular face. And so far, Pete, why don't you fill the people in, let them know what we've decided so far. Have we found a decision that's worse than the Bryan Daniel booking so far? The Daniel Bryan booking, excuse me.
Not really, no. But we've pointed out to WrestleMania 9 and 10 as the reverse Daniel Bryan booking, where you have Brett looking bad at WrestleMania 9 on the way to losing to Yokozuna, and then Hogan coming in and winning the title within seconds. And then the next year he's built real strong by having a classic with his brother and then going over Yoko in the main event and getting his I believe it was his second title run. So they corrected the mistake they made. As this time, at this point, we know Daniel Bryan. Last year they weren't going in that direction, but changed directions by the way the fans reacted, and they pushed Bryan. He won the title, gets injured. We all know that backstory. They bring him back to the Rumble and just totally screw him over by bad booking. Going to go with they want to push Reigns instead of the guy who's more over. And now they didn't even have a plan for him coming out of the Royal Rumble and main eventing Fastlane. They didn't have a spot even penciled in for him at Mania. So they threw together this ladder match for the IC title, which, as everyone knows, is kryptonite for wrestlers, along with other great stalwarts like Truth, who hasn't.
or Stardust, who wrestles in silence.
Who lost on the last pay-per-view. As opposed to his brother who won. He went over, but he's not in the. That makes sense. He should be in the IC belt match, not his brother who lost to him.
So if Goldust was in the match, I have no problem saying that the latter match would be much better with Goldust in there than Stardust. But Dave Musgrave, Pete mentioned the Yoko Zuna Bret Hart situation. Another match we touched on that could be a bad decision was Bret Hart versus Ric Flair versus Hulk Hogan never happening at WrestleMania 8. Would you say that's the other big tragedy in WrestleMania history so far?
Yeah, I mean, WrestleMania 8 is kind of it is fun in its way, but you know, it is stunning that we don't have Flair and Hogan at Mania, which it should have been.
Right. Well, let's dig in, man. Let's do these last 15 Manias. We're going to start with WrestleMania 2000, and this show, man, 2000 was a hot year for WWF. You know, Mankind or Mick Foley, Cactus Jack, he had just retired in the Hell in the Cell the month before. The Rock was hot. You know, Austin was injured, but in Triple H at this point in time felt like a true main eventer, right? Well, they put the Big Show in the main event. They put Mick Foley, who just retired a month before, in the main event, completely killing any emotion you felt for his farewell after the Hell in the Cell. And they had a ton of, I want to call it filler on the undercard, but it was fun. It was fun stuff. Triangle ladder match between Edge and Christian, Dudley's and the Hardys. But I don't have a complaint with the undercard so much as I have a real complaint, real problem with that four-way main event. Dave, what would you have done to change the main event of WrestleMania 2000?
I would say, looking back on it, what they were going to do, which is probably either, well, what the one really good option would have been a singles match with Triple H and Rock. But they were also looking at one point at having Jericho as the man in the four-way, and they decided to take him out and go with Foley instead. And I think if it had been Jericho, would have been, I mean, no one thought Foley was going to win or at least have a title reign. And that could have been really cool to have Jericho in there.
Yeah, okay. So you might have even kept it a four-way because you have to have all four McMahons in the corners, but just had Jericho in there instead?
No, I would have actually put the McMahons in the trunk of a car and kept them as far away from the
match. Yeah, yeah. Good luck with that one. Pete, what would you have done, man?
Yeah, having Foley in there was such a – it's just a slap in the face. It was really one of the big slaps in the face that the company's really done first in a while, and it was just like slap the taste out of your mouth. So that was a mistake. I could buy Jericho in there. I still don't know which who he would go with. I mean, I just can't prepare him with Linda. Stephanie's going to be with Hunter. Rock, Big Show, who knows? Yeah, it was a mess, that main event. And it just... And this is also the first time a heel left Mania as heel champion, as a heel.
Right. Yep.
And
that was kind of cool, but it really would have been better to have Rock go over. I mean,
it really felt right. This should have been Rock's year to win the belt at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Instead of him winning it, what, a month or two later?
Yeah.
Did he win it at Backlash or did he win it at Judgment Day?
Judgment Day. Yeah, now this ended up being the start of 15 years of Triple H dick swinging. So.
Yeah,
this was a bad decision. I don't know. I mean, the end result of the Mania decision was bad. The build-up did not feel as bad as this year's build-up, though. So, no. You know, I don't think we can place this in that category. The booking of the show, when we do the reaction show, might match it, but the actual build-up doesn't feel that bad.
And well, I love this Mania myself. So
okay.
Overall, I just thought everything just felt like it was clicking.
They had a lot of fun stuff here. Yeah, it's a good point.
Okay, well, WrestleMania 17, our next Mania, is known as one of the most popular WrestleManias of all time, maybe the greatest WrestleMania of all time, and you could argue this is, a well-booked show, except Stone Cold turns heel at the end in Texas. A show, Pete, that you were at.
Yeah, mind-blowing that Austin turned heel, joined his villain, a guy who never would – you just can't. It was like I brought up Iron Sheik on the previous show in Slaughter. This is like 8 billion times worse of them being paired together, Vince and Stone Cold. And I know they don't view it, the WWE didn't view it at the time, like, oh, it's in Texas, because they look at it, everything in like a global look. And it's, but sometimes you got to look at the little things. And turning Stone Cold Steve Austin, the guy who has a tattoo of the state of Texas on his ankle that everyone can see or his whatever, and to try to turn him heel in Texas, not going to happen. And that this is a first example of Daniel Bryan level backlash from the fans at a big show, just shitting all over that turn.
Did they shit? You were there live. Did they really shit on it at the show?
Not at the level of Daniel Bryan, but they shit on it. Like, they just were in awe, were shocked, and they were booing. and they were happy that he won the title, but once they found out what exactly happened and the handshake, it didn't get over live at all.
Okay. And Dave, what did you think of the booking of this main event?
What people forget is that, Austin was kind of played out as a babyface at the time. That being said, I don't think this was the time to do it. Maybe they could have done it in a couple months afterwards. But
not at WrestleMania.
Not at WrestleMania. Hometown.
Yeah.
Or if they were going to do it, book him in a different town.
Yeah. Well, and I think it would have been dumb anywhere, honestly.
Right.
Like if they had,
Yeah. And once again, the build to the show, really solid build, man. You had it, Austin and Rock doing Margaritaville and, actually, I think Rock won the belt the month before.
Yeah, he had
from Angle. Right?
Yeah,
from Angle. Was it from Angle?
Yeah, No Way Out.
Yeah. So, Rock Austin that should have main evented WrestleMania, right? No doubt. Two biggest stars.
Absolutely.
So, once again, the two biggest stars are there on top of the card. I have no problem with that whatsoever. The way it turned out, once again, let's wait till the reaction show to find out if this was worse. But
and getting Deborah involved and it was
Terms of who's on top, those guys were right where they should have been.
Yeah, easy story. Hometown hero coming back for his belt and at the biggest show of the year, and they mangled it. But
Let's move on.
Yeah.
All right, WrestleMania 18. Oh God. Okay, this show, we're going to talk about two matches. Actually, I guess I kind of want to mention a third match because I don't think it was the way to go. And that's Stone Cold versus Scott Hall. Stone Cold is still Stone Cold, and he's stuck in the mid-card. This feels like the WWE actively trying to de-push Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think that's a huge mistake.
Yeah, I think it was a combination of that and trying to over-push Scott Hall.
Right.
I thought originally they offered the Hogan match to Austin and he turned it down.
He did. You're right. But to Scott, I don't know, Scott Hall.
Who did you book him with then?
Well, I would have done Kurt Angle because Kurt Angle was right there in the mid card with Kane and that's not a good match. No. It might've been Kane's best match, honestly, but it's still Kurt Angle and Kane. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have Ric Flair there with the Undertaker. I know that that was actually a pretty well built up match with Taker abusing a Flair's son David, you know, at the training center or whatever. But Rock Hogan, magic moment. Dave, you were there, right?
Yeah, there is nothing like this. Like, I can't even describe what it was like in that building. It was, I've had better match quality matches that I've been at and maybe matches, but there's nothing that you can compare to having been there for that kind of reaction.
Right. And so
that place was shaking.
Yeah. And the buildup, I'm going to argue this too, with the buildup to Triple H versus Chris Jericho, horrible booking, but they did have a natural feud in place.
Yeah.
Right. So, no, you can't really blame the company for booking Triple H versus Chris Jericho. It felt like the right match. It just went on at the wrong time.
Yeah, and well, the other thing is, too, though, with Triple H, with Rock and Hogan, like, I don't know, everyone seems to feel like it was inevitable that it was going to get over like that, but it did feel much more spontaneous at the time.
Oh, it absolutely was. Everybody thought Hogan was washed up. Everybody just said, oh, this is going to be a debacle. This is horrible.
But it was just like, it felt very spontaneous that he walked out there, that everyone just freaked out. And I don't know if they had of, tried to force it and put it on last, maybe it wouldn't have had quite the reaction it did.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about that. They would have ripped it up.
We know it worked where it was.
True. Yeah. True. And that was pretty built up pretty well too.
See, that's the whole thing. The whole crowd turned on the booking because they booked Hogan as big time heel, where they even had Hogan run over Brock with a bus.
Right, but I'm not saying that. But Hogan should have been the heel. You know what I mean?
Right, and but this is another example of the crowd turning the angle to how they want it to be. Which
was I Hogan. See what you're saying. Yeah. but I was not offended by the booking leading up to this the way I am.
Yeah. Oh no, not at all. I remember show. Marking out huge, like, oh my god, that's a heat angle.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. I was more offended with the booking of the Triple H Chris Jericho, where they emasculated Jericho.
Oh yeah.
You know, where he became Stephanie's little plaything.
Yeah.
To me, that was horrible. What would be wrong with Chris Jericho just reminding Triple H that he's the reason he was out for a year, and that's why Triple H has to get revenge to prove that he can still go? And that would have been a great. This was the embarrassing build to a WrestleMania main event. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So to me, this build might match the stupidity of the build for this year's, but it still felt like the right matchup. Does anyone disagree with that?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I agree completely.
So I don't know, man. This show, Rock Hogan, Austin Hall, Triple H, Jericho. In a way, it almost, like I said, it feels like it could be a better Mania than it was. Like this year's. This year. I'm going to do some rebooking of this year's Mania, where I'm going to make it a much better show than what we're going to get just on paper and later on in the week. But this show,
like official rebooking, like WWE's hiring you, or
yeah,
they hired him to save WrestleMania. Yeah, the man who saved WrestleMania.
I'm going to be like the new Vince Russo. Okay, he'll become a megalomaniac who believes he saved wrestling. But after you listen to my booking, though, I think you'll agree with me. My WrestleMania, better than their WrestleMania. Point blank. Okay? So but anyway.
Sorrow agree?
Dude, you put enough weed in Johnny Sorrow's system, dude. He'll enjoy anything, right? Because all wrestling is great wrestling, right? TNA house shows, best wrestling ever, whatever. Anyway, where are we at? Which WrestleMania are we moving on to?
19.
WrestleMania 19. Man, what a weird show. You have Rock Austin again, but it's not the main event because Stone Cold didn't feel like he could perform at a main event level because he had nerves and he had been in the hospital the night before. Remember that?
Yeah.
Kurt Angle was injured, but him and Brock Lesnar go on at the end, which feels like the wrong decision. Like, that feud did not feel like a WrestleMania caliber main event build.
You know, I think if Brock had hit that shooting star, it would be remembered as classic stuff.
Really? Because I didn't really think it was that great of a match leading up to that.
Yeah, but I mean, it would be remembered as a huge moment in a positive way, as opposed to
as opposed to the big botch at the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. But guys, I think the real booking tragedy of this whole show, and Pete, disagree or agree, Triple H versus Booker T, using racism as the angle they were going with, only for the racist to win in the end.
Yeah, no payoff. Worst.
Yeah.
Just horrible. Disgusting.
So it was a bad build, right?
Yeah.
The only thing I think of in terms of like tackiness is like Punk and Taker playing off the whole death of Paul Bearer.
Yeah, I mean, it's just disgusting.
You know what I mean?
I think this was way worse. Yeah.
I think you're probably right, but I'm just trying to think, like, what's so what else has been like embarrassingly bad, you know? And I thought that was bad. Hogan, the super patriot during the Iraq War, that was really bad. But this was bad. This had a bad build, but I don't know. I mean, if Booker T wins the match, then it feels okay. It feels like the right match, right? For the feud building.
Yeah. Cause they actually worked it where you get tons of sympathy on Booker cause he's selling so much and his leg's gone. And he's selling his ass off and you're expecting him to, you know, score a miracle victory and then everything's all good. He gets his ass handed to him and then loses.
There in the mid card, you have Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho. I don't know. Does it feel like, even though it's a high quality match, does it feel like they're too low on the card after all they had done before? What do you think, Pete?
I thought that the build was really well done too. And that's the thing, because like Brock and Angle were kind of thrown together at the last minute because of the injuries. We really didn't get a great Rock Austin build. Hogan Vince, and that had all the history. The Triple H Booker thing was built great if the payoff was right. And I still don't like the build because of all the racist overtone. It just doesn't belong in that in this time frame. Not that racism is good in any time frame, but it really stands out in a political correct time frame. And I really dug the Shawn Michaels Jericho. It was simple. I'm a younger you, and I thought that was really built well.
What about you, Dave?
I think this is the first year that you can really point to where it's something that I think is a bit negative in terms of, 17 and 18 had some of the regular undercard matches like in Edge and Booker T, or Guerrero. I think Guerrero and Test wrestled at 17. Yep. Matches that were good to be there, but they didn't all have to feel like they were trying to be the biggest thing in the show. And this is kind of the first year where it's a little too much of that. And what I don't like about that is that it takes away from the ability of newer guys to be on the show. So
yeah,
it's a great point. Yeah,
it's also weird because it's like 5 20-minute matches in a row.
Yeah,
it feels like a super card right now.
I don't even have a problem with that, guys. I really don't. And
this is, they had a Hogan Vince this year, right?
Yeah.
And
Meltzer always says, and Meltzer always says that's really what this card was built around. Like, that was the real main event in Meltzer's eyes, And so, I don't know. I think this card still doesn't offend me the way this year's does.
Yeah, even Matt Hardy and Rey Mysterio was booked real well on television for only, and then they get a 5-minute match, but they're tearing up SmackDown.
Yeah, true. And I'm just looking at, I didn't like the tag match they had that year, the 3-way tag match, but it could have been a good match, but with it time. just wasn't what we were expecting.
I want to tell you a cool moment in time from the year before. I got to send a shout out to the How Fun Billy and Chuck were as a tag team.
Oh, shit. I was trying to forget about that, but.
Anyway. Oh, that was fun stuff.
Oh, I hated Billy and Chuck, but anyway, let's keep going, guys. But anything on here worse than the Bryan build?
Yeah.
Or the dropping the ball with Bryan? Nothing, right?
I think in its way the Triple H Booker T was in terms of just pure offensiveness, and they could have had Booker T as champ, and it actually probably would have made Triple H's legacy better, because we know he would have won the title back within a couple months, but it would have broken it up instead of this the horror that was the Triple H dominance there.
Right.
So,
okay.
But it's more just bad as opposed to extremely counterproductive, like we're seeing now.
Right. Okay. Well, let's look at WrestleMania 20. Well, your two big main events are Eddie Guerrero versus Kurt Angle, and I thought that was fine. No problem with that. I only have a problem with the finish. I know some people don't like the boot finish. I love it, but whatever. And then you have Benoit defeats Triple H and Shawn Michaels. From my recollection, the build was pretty much Triple H and Shawn Michaels with Chris Benoit as an afterthought. Am I wrong in that, Dave?
I think you are, actually. Yeah. I mean, Benoit won the Rumble. And as far as...
No, but the actual feud itself. Like, Benoit was penciled in to get the shot. but the feud itself was like.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Like it felt like Benoit felt like a very active part of the build for it to me in terms of it was a build about him becoming champion instead of any hate though.
Yeah, but he shouldn't have been. They shouldn't have been a triple threat. I mean, it should have been his straight shot.
I guess that's what I'm getting at is it feels like these two were actively trying to take the heat away from Benoit.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like to me. So to me, I was actually more shocked that Benoit won because I figured, you know, so he'd either eat a super kick or a pedigree. And then, like, I actually thought Shawn Michaels was going to win the match and reclaim his belt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But not by pinning his buddy, but by, you know, pinning the lackey Benoit, who just happened to be there. And then so when Benoit wins, I'm really shocked. Excited, too. I was really happy for him.
Yeah, I know. I mean, me and my buddies, I mean, with me being in Canada, like, we're all chanting, tap, tap, tap. And we, I mean,
hey,
we're just losing our minds. Just unfortunately, we were losing our minds. Just unfortunately, so was he. So.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's awesome, Dave. Just when you think Dave doesn't have witty things to say, drop something like that. That's great. All right, let's keep moving on. I don't want to dwell on Benoit too much here. All right.
No, well, great. I mean, obviously you can't book for, you know, people's future homicidal tendencies. So that's overall,
true.
I'd say great booking as far as, you know, having Benoit Guerrero poised as the generation of guys who made it and should make it. And that hugging stuff at the end was great.
And so let's look at where they ended up a year later.
I look at the show a year later as being like, I think obviously with how they've done with Cena since it's paid off, and a lot of people were against it at the time, but it's really weird because like WrestleMania 20, it was kind of like the undercard matches weren't as off the charts, and the two main event matches were, whereas I found WrestleMania 21 like. The undercard matches were really good. Like you had Guerrero, Mysterio, and a lot of other stuff. And then the two main event matches, although they were the right booking, weren't all that exciting as far as matches go.
Okay. So. Well, look, this really has some of the similar trajectories as this year. Look at this. Eddie Guerrero, SmackDown champion the year before, curtain jerking with Rey Mysterio. Okay. Money in the Bank ladder match, random ladder match. Our good friend Chris Benoit, who had won the title the year before, in the Money in the Bank ladder match. Almost eerily similar to the Daniel Bryan situation.
You see where I'm stuck going? With. He has less jabronis in his match, though.
Who?
Chris Benoit.
No, yeah, because he was going against Edge, Jericho, Shelton Benjamin, who had had this little mini feud with. Hunter, yeah, Christian was in there and Kane.
Yeah, so
who's in the IC title match again this year?
Tell him, Pete.
Wait, what?
Oh, it's Ambrose, again? Barrett, Harper, Stardust, R-Truth, Daniel Bryan, and I'm forgetting somebody.
I mean, so that's
Ziggler.
Yeah,
that's a jabroni as far as I'm concerned. Truth belongs nowhere near there. But other than that, I find that kind of cool.
Yeah, but it's still 6th, 7th from the top. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it shouldn't be where he is.
Right, especially because if you look at it, Benoit, Edge, none of those guys, even Jericho is never as huge as what Daniel Bryan's getting right now. Like, compared to the rest of the roster, what Daniel Bryan's receiving right now is far and away bigger than any of these guys in this Money in the Bank match.
Yeah, I think Daniel Bryan, this is the farthest drop any main eventer from WrestleMania has dropped in a year.
Even more than Benoit doing this Money in the Bank ladder match the same way?
Yep.
What about Bundy going to the midget match?
Eddie Guerrero going
into... He's a heel, so it's a little different.
Yeah.
As opposed to being a moneymaker, you know, headliner.
Okay, I don't know. This Benoit Eddie thing feels very reminiscent about what's going on.
Oh, no, it's very reminiscent. I mean, you even had Benoit feuding with Kane right after.
Right.
I mean, there's just was I, but you know, Daniel Bryan was injured, So they didn't even have a chance to really damage him booking wise all year. So he's still coming off, coming fresh as a daisy, coming back into the Rumble. And this is his big return mania after winning the title, standing tall. He's now climbing a ladder.
Yeah.
With R-Truth, who hasn't been on a mania card
in years. Yeah. Undertaker versus Orton was on this show. At the time, Orton, was that during his Legend Killer gimmick?
I'm not sure.
I don't remember. Honestly, I have no idea.
Yeah, it was.
I can't believe we on WrestleMania 20, we didn't even mention Lesnar Goldberg, which is a possibility we might get that type of reaction on this show.
Oh, that's true. But I didn't. The reason I didn't mention it, one, to save time.
Okay.
But two, also just because they had no way of knowing that the crowd was going to react that way.
Right.
You know what I mean? I had no idea that the crowd was going to react.
I agree.
And I knew that they were going to leave, you know. Plus, I think when they booked the feud, they didn't know that both guys were going to disappear.
Well, they still have booked a feud where the champion now, they should learn from that. Brock still, as far as I know, isn't under contract yet.
Yeah, that's right. So weird.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. I mean, Batista with Triple H, though, that feels like the right match. Because it did big business, right? This was a big business pay-per-view, so you can't kind of argue with that decision.
Biggest feather in Triple H's cap in making somebody.
Yeah, for sure. So, I guess, I mean, do you look at this as like Roman Reigns, if he goes over Brock Lesnar, like a Cena going over a JBL or Batista going over a Triple H? I mean, what do you think?
If they do it well, it could be really good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you have Daniel Bryan establish the IC title match as the new Mania tradition, title ladder match, and then have them as the parallel champions, that could be cool. But they're probably not going to do that because they.
I don't know if that's where they're headed, man.
I don't know that they'll do that, but it could be cool.
Yeah, even and you also had a big singles match with Kurt Angle versus Shawn Michaels here. You know, so I mean, this is kind of a weird mania where I don't actually disagree with any of the booking of this show, but where Eddie and Benoit, your world champions at the last Mania, are really at the bottom of the card now. You know,
yeah, it's the same time. Feels like I mean, Guerrero and Mysterio is intended to be the hot opener, right?
Yeah. But still, it's still one of those glaring things like, wow, these guys were on top. Now they're not even close. Next, we have WrestleMania 22. And with WrestleMania 22, Rey Mysterio is now up at the top of the card. And he wins the World Heavyweight Championship in a three-way with Orton and Angle. And Cena is now at the top of the card with Triple H. And Cena Triple H feels like the right match for the time period, but the build was horrible. That was Triple H basically telling Cena, you can't wrestle. And I think some Johnny logic would come into play. Not Johnny P, our good buddy, who was on part one, but Johnny Sorrow, where Johnny Sorrow would say, well, you see, he had to tell him he wasn't a good wrestler so Cena could prove to him he was a good wrestler. Whereas to me, it just looks like you're killing the heat of your opponent or the power of your opponent.
Yeah, Johnny's tilting at windmills there.
Yeah, so I don't know. What'd you think about this, Dave?
I think it was the right match, a good match. I think it was a start of a lot of years of kind of boring booking for the world title match.
Right.
I think the biggest thing that stands out about this show is, and it was kind of a trend that kept going, was that the triple threat match for the world title, for where Mysterio won the title, was really shortchanged on time, so Vince could get more time in his match.
Yeah.
And that is up there. Not as bad as Daniel Bryan stuff from this year, but. It's certainly in that direction. It's the same mindset. So
I could see that if they like cut short Daniel Bryan's main event caliber match, but he doesn't even have a main event caliber match. You know, like I said, lower mid card this year.
Well, they do that another year.
Okay, yeah, we'll get to it. But Pete, anything to add on WrestleMania 22?
Not really. I think you guys kind of covered it pretty good.
Okay, cool. Let's move on. WrestleMania 23. This one, another match you can't really complain about, or a card, because a very, very successful card, right? Bobby Lashley and Umaga and the hair versus hair match with Donald Trump and Mr. McMahon. And then John Cena versus HBK on top. And Undertaker versus Batista, world title match, but really lower mid-card match, you know, at least in terms of placement.
But surpassed expectations.
Which, well, it's a really good match, man. Really, really fun match. And I don't know. To me, though, the booking of this does not feel like the wrong people are being pushed. I don't know. What do you think, Pete?
No, I mean, this is perfect. You've seen it going over Michaels. That was a big win to cement him even more. I just looking at Lashley, you think he had a huge, he had $1 million look. So I think it was right for him to go over. Undertaker pinning Batista, keeps the streak alive. Yeah, I mean, this is smart booking.
Right. Actually, I think you could say that was the year that the streak really kicked into gear. Because it wasn't always a huge
thing. Right.
Yeah.
And on top of it, this is Undertaker, I would say, up to this point, probably his best match. And that, I think, enhanced the streak, finally. They're like, all right, now he's having some kick-ass matches. He had some good ones before this, but now this is his first, great WrestleMania moment.
Right. No, I agree completely. And you know,
yeah, it's definitely better than Giant Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. But, other people do like the Ric Flair match and the first Triple H.
They're both good matches, but this is, I feel, at a different level.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at
this is where this starts to feel like it's part of, wow, this streak is a big deal now.
Yeah.
And Batista's a real good opponent for Undertaker because he is physically big. So it had that super epic, with the power moves and the big moves, it had a bigger feel than, Orton and Triple H and the Flair matches. It had a different dynamic.
Yeah. Well, I like this show because there's no Triple H on it. So
yeah,
thumbs up for this show. Let's move on, guys, because we are on a roll. WrestleMania 24, maybe my favorite WrestleMania of all time. It's funny because this show, Triple H is back in that triple threat you were talking about with Randy Orton and John Cena. Ric Flair's retirement match, Floyd Mayweather versus Big Show. And you had Undertaker versus Edge for the world championship on top. This felt like a big deal, man. This felt like the right people. In the right spot on the card. I don't know. I have no complaints about this whatsoever. What about you, Dave?
The triple threat title match is kind of boring as far as booking goes, but other than that, I really liked the Floyd Mayweather Big Show match. I thought Floyd Mayweather was just an awesome heel, especially with furry baggy pants. And the build to that, other than having the face heel dynamic mixed up, had some pretty fun stuff. This had Edge and Taker in the main event, and I think that was probably the best moment for either up to that point at Mania.
So. Yep.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Like I said, I'm not mad at the booking of this show.
Now, here, I got a question for you, Will.
What?
On earlier, you said that, yeah, definitely LT and Bigelow should go on last, and Diesel and HBK was fine being the second to top. Why not flip-flop it here?
I don't have a problem if they do.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If you put Floyd Mayweather last, and you treat it like a big deal, which it is, I don't have a problem. The only problem is LT was the face, Mayweather's the heel. Yeah. That's the problem.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
You know, if you're fine with the heel,
I still think the world title should go on last year anyway.
I don't think it matters. Like I said, you're not going to do it with Rock Hogan, right?
No, I wouldn't do it with Rock Hogan.
So, you know, you didn't do it with Cena Rock when Cena Rock 1 happened.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, you put on the biggest match. I think if it was Floyd Mayweather versus John Cena, then what do?
That goes on last.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Big Show's not on a Cena level.
No.
So, you know, that's...
Neither does Bam Bam Bigelow.
But LT was. And LT was the face.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who's bigger? Who's bigger, LT or Diesel?
LT.
Okay, done.
Who's bigger, Floyd Mayweather or Edge?
Edge is the heel.
Floyd Mayweather than Undertaker?
Floyd Mayweather's the heel.
I definitely agree. I think the world title match should be going on last, usually. So.
Yeah, okay. I'm on that.
Well, then if it is, then don't book a match that's bigger than it. You know what I mean? Don't book Rock Cena. Don't book Rock Hogan. Don't book Mayweather. Don't book LT and Bam Bam. You know, if you're set in that mindset, then don't book those big dream matches or spectacle matches.
Or my point would be people don't agree with Will.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, like, don't book the bigger matches. You know what I mean? If that's the most important match, as y'all are claiming, then don't book a match that is actually more important. You were there at the Rock Hogan, you know. You know what I mean?
And yeah, and I wouldn't change the match order.
You're one of the very few that wouldn't. You know, now you're the exception, not the rule. Most people would say it was nuts that didn't go on top. You know. That was the main event.
I thought it was successful the way it was.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you know. But it didn't make Jericho Triple H successful, did it?
No, but that's...
But it could have hurt that match. Because, you know, what if they have their match, you know, and then, you know, the crowd isn't emotionally drained from that Rock Hogan match. Maybe it gets a little more heat than it had, a little bit more excitement, but not so much that when Rock Hogan come, that the crowd's incapable of getting up for that match. So it's not about disagreeing with me. It's about, you know, each circumstance is different, you know?
Yeah, if you, but it's more fun to give you a hard time, though.
No, I don't care about that, man. Y'all can give me a hard time. But I'm just saying, do you really think HBK Diesel's bigger than LT?
Yeah.
If you do, I mean, like I said, you're Canadian. You have that choice. But LT's a big deal. LT's the main event. You know, and if you don't have a star that's bigger than LT, then don't book LT on your show.
Yeah, I'm back with Dave on that one, though. I mean, because LT's gone after the... That'll show. He should not have main evented that one.
Then he shouldn't have been on the show.
I have no problem him being on the show. I mean, because it helps eyeballs for your product. There's other reasons why you should be on the show. He's still going over, but I don't think he should have gone last.
I made the same argument with Mr. T, and you also, oh no, Mr. T had to be in the main event.
It wasn't a world title.
Well, he was in the main event with Hogan.
And it wasn't a world title match. So
now we're to exceptions. See.
Well, that made WrestleMania, though.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I think y'all are hypocrites.
That's if it had been any other WrestleMania, I wouldn't say put T over in the main event for the title.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although that would be a fast.
We saw how fast the T-Star fell main eventing the boxing match on WrestleMania 2. But I digress. Let's move on, fellas. Let's keep this a happy kumbaya type of show here. WrestleMania 25, once again, okay, y'all asked for it, you're going to get it, Triple H and Randy Orton for the WWE Championship main event, but then you have this match called Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels underneath, World Championship still need to go out on top?
I'd say this is a
this is an exceptional year.
The biggest the argument.
Oh, you hypocrites!
Not hypocrites. Smart booking.
Okay.
I think the problem here was not just that it went on last. I think it was the match itself too, and the result.
Yeah. Well, no, Triple H needed to beat Randy Orton after everything Randy Orton had done to his family. You know what I mean? Triple H, in theory, should have won that match. He should have gotten his revenge. Randy Orton fucking punted his wife's head.
Yeah, you got me there.
You know what I mean? Just because we don't like Triple H doesn't mean he wasn't the one who was supposed to go over. The way they wrestled the match, absolutely. But, you know, once again, that's the world title match that what just wasn't wrestled the right way. I thought the build was actually really effective.
It was. And yeah, it wasn't working.
I thought the build. Yeah, I actually liked the build to all these matches, man. I liked the build to Taker Shawn Michaels with the Shawn Michaels coming out with the light. And you know what I mean? The white costumes. And the triple threat was the love triangle with Vicky. I actually enjoyed all of that, man. So I have no problem with the
book. What was the triple threat match again that year? It was Big Show.
Big Show, Cena, Edge, and John Edge. Cena. That's where John Cena lifted both up, lifted up both of them for the FU. And anyway, to me, this was a show where I have no complaints with the booking. What do you say, Musgrave?
Is this the year they had the Kid Rock concert?
Yeah, it probably was. Yeah,
it was.
It is, Pete. Yep. Yeah, that is the absolute dirt worst because they took off. I think it was the tag title match.
Yeah,
and it was an example of, you know, no one's big enough to be on the show, and it's like, guys, you know, like, I mean, I think it was the year after this that Miz was in the world title match, and
no, Miz was
it was another 2 years, was it?
Well, I mean, this is 25. Are you sure this was Kid Rock?
Yep, I'm looking at it. He played 5 songs.
Okay.
And they took the tag title match off, which was Miz and Morrison against the Colognes. And that match could have been a good Mania moment, but they had to have, you know, Vince's 1999 musical taste, you know, splattered all over the show.
Did he play Ball with the Ball?
Yep.
He did do that.
Okay. He opened it.
Okay. There you go.
I mean, it was as out of touch as when I saw Kid Rock in concert in Toronto and he unveiled a huge American flag all over the place.
Oh, I love that you admit you saw a Kid Rock concert.
Yes.
That's awesome. Oh, man. Anyway, but so for the booking for the show, Pete, did you agree or disagree with this thing?
Yeah, I have no problem. Triple H on top over, you know, yeah. No problems.
Okay.
I mean, I thought maybe Undertaker and Shawn Michaels should have been on top.
So far, our biggest contentions have been over card placement, right? Not really the booking. But we do see some trends. Like with 21, we see Eddie and Benoit plummet down the card. But once again, I reinforce the idea that neither one of them has ever been as popular as Daniel Bryan. Would y'all disagree with that?
Oh, yeah. And neither one of them were Vince's guys, if that makes sense.
Right.
That type of guy.
And and the thing for me is I'm not a huge fan of the dominance of Undertaker's streak the last few years. I think it took away from the value of the titles.
Okay. I'm not even going to disagree with that, you know. Having said that, I think last year you mean like the last couple of years where we're at in the show? Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker, you think that the idea of the streak is overwhelming to where, like you said, it did take away from the championships to where you cannot put your world title on last?
Yeah, and you know what? Just as much so as like no young guys get on the card. Like by the standards of today, like other than now they have the Battle Royal, and for a while it was the Money in the Bank, but other than that, it's like by the standards of today, like Undertaker wouldn't have been on Mania until like 93.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. But this company has always had weird internal rules. You know what I mean? That really make no sense in the overall scheme of things.
They've had a lot of problems planning for the future, and that's the big
true,
one.
True, very, yeah, very, and very I think true.
So far, we looked through it. So far, the last guy we've seen elevated and, you know, and stuck with it is Cena so far. Maybe Batista.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what about Edge? Because now he's the last couple of Manias here, 24, 25. He's up at the top.
Yeah. It was begrudgingly, though, for a while there, because, like, I mean, he was so big in 06 there, but they, well, I mean, they gave him that big match with Foley, but they, you know, he got over on his own.
Okay, not, so you think it had nothing to do with the Rated R Superstar, or...
Well, but that was his work, is what I mean. Like, okay. They didn't want him to become the main eventer. He did that.
Yeah, he actually, so he has the most in common with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
The heel version.
Yeah.
The heel version. Okay. Well, guys, let's decide. So, anything worse than the Daniel Bryan thing? Because there are some very interesting similarities. What do you think, Pete?
No.
No. And Dave?
No, the closest thing in all the Manias is, you know, Hogan over Yoko.
Okay. After the Bret Hart debacle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So far. Well, let's look, guys, we got 5 more WrestleManias to go. Obviously WrestleMania 30 is not going to count because Daniel Bryan, won that title that year, you know? So that was kind of your WrestleMania 10 moment. Before Daniel Bryan has his WrestleMania 9 moment. But let's take a break so we can give some props to the Place to Be Nation. When we come back, we'll look at the last 5 WrestleManias.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to the Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes at PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself as Scott Criscolo on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews, our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews, and WWE Network live watches. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you, including the main event, featuring a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, WrestleChat.net's Still Real to Us podcast with Jeff Peck, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on what we should be excited about in the world of wrestling today. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, as well as the twice-weekly Bauer Show, The Kings of Sport, featuring live audio wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Lounge, hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., often visited by special guests from inside the world of sports, as well as the NBA Team podcast with Adam Murray and Andrew Reich for the deep dive into the world of pro hoops. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also the home to tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island and Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats' RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net for their support.
Chad, do you want your wrestling podcast to be informed by historical and analytical insight and by obsessive watching of footage from any era and any promotion and for them all to be available on one feed?
Sure do, Parv.
Chad, are you ready to shill?
I am, because I know you're talking about the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network.
Let's go through that again. PWOPTBN Podcast Network.
Got it. That's where you can listen to all sorts of different shows covering the history of pro wrestling in detail.
Shows like Titans of Wrestling with my boys Pete, the man of 10,000 discs, and Kelly, the jobber lover.
I'm a jobber.
The Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham.
Join me, Stephen Graham.
The smash hit wrestling game show Brainbuster with
Johnny Sorrow.
We have a host of top contributors like wrestling historian Chris Zellner.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris Zellner here, starting a new podcast venture.
And the Pro Wrestling Only admins, the man who knows more about 90s wrestling than maybe anybody on earth, Charles, and good old Will from Texas.
This is Will, and I'm joined today by my good buddy Charles.
Whether it's the territories, WWF, NWA, Mid-South, Texas, Portland, tag team wrestling, Japanese wrestling, lucha, old school, new school, we got it.
And of course, the feed still has the mothership itself,
with the big boys play,
on which we continue our endless journey through WCW Supercards.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network, it's pro wrestling only.
You know you want to hear it.
Okay, welcome back to Place to Be Nation. This is Will, and I'm joined with my buddy Dave Musgrave and my buddy Pete from the Titans of Wrestling. And we're talking about the booking decisions of the WrestleManias. And we're trying to figure out if any of the booking decisions are worse than dropping Daniel Bryan to the bottom of the mid-card this year. And so far, we've had a couple of close ones. But I think the Daniel Bryan lack of a push, the de-pushing of Daniel Bryan this year really stands out above the rest. And we're going to look at a few more booking decisions, and we're going to determine if it is indeed the worst call you could make in terms of building a WrestleMania. And next WrestleMania, guys, we're going to look at WrestleMania 26. And this one, your top two world title matches are Chris Jericho and Edge and John Cena and Batista. But neither world title match is on top because Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels 2, Shawn Michaels' retirement match, that goes on last. And it feels like the right placement for those matches. Dave, what do you say about this card?
I think Taker Michaels is really what stands out here. I mean, it would be kind of easy to forget that those world title matches happened, although I do remember them being fun. Yeah, but that's pretty much the biggest thing I do remember from that. This is 2010, right?
Sure. I don't remember the years, man. I'm horrible about the years when it comes to the...
Yeah, this is 2010.
Yeah, 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should have known because I just had surgery that week. And I was all doped up watching it on my couch, man.
Yeah, I was actually in Nova Scotia for a family emergency as well. Actually became a theme of the next few WrestleManias for me.
Man, see, I'd actually planned on going to that WrestleMania because I have family out in Phoenix, but I knew I was going to have surgery a month ahead, so there was no way I could make it. So really, really disappointed and sad I wasn't there, but it's okay. All right, I'll survive. Pete, what do you think?
Yeah, I understand why Undertaker and Michaels were going last, and they deserved it after this two back-to-back WrestleMania stories they told. But, man, bottom line is neither one of them are going to be there tomorrow. I mean, Shawn Michaels is retiring, and Taker needs to go home for a year to get better.
See, here's the thing I disagree with you with, because you've brought this up, and you brought it up with Hogan Savage before, or what was the one that you were? Oh, Hogan Flair, where you were like, or Hogan Savage, you're like, well, it didn't do great around the horn after this show,
right?
Where to me, this is just a disagreement over the WrestleMania calendar. Is WrestleMania supposed to be the show that kicks off the year, or the show that wraps everything up?
Both.
Doesn't have to be. You know what I mean? It can be it can be either the show that kickstarts things, or it can be the thing that closes chapters. I have no problem with somebody who's never going to wrestle again being in the main event. There's no problem with that. Dave, what do you think?
I think this was the year, I guess. If you were going to do it, I can see why they would do it here. I don't know. Like, I just, everyone complains about how much world titles were devalued by this point, and I don't think doing this devalued them as much as it was a sign of how much they'd been devalued. And this did help contribute to that. So.
Okay. All right. I mean, I don't know. I just don't think that there's a problem with wrapping things up. You know, what if a world champion ends his feud? Like, okay, if you have a new world champion,
Yes,
you're going to start new feuds. But if the world champion defeats his challenger, what's the problem with starting a new feud and not worrying about doing that match again around the horn for another 3 months?
Right, well, that's fine, but neither one of these guys are going to be starting a new feud. That's my take.
I don't think it matters. It's a big moment.
It is a big
Sometimes
moment.
The moment's bigger than the championship.
I understand that. I have no my point, I would have no problem with them headlining it if Undertaker was a full-time person.
But it's like you got to the point of dominating. I don't know. I feel like this is like if Bruno Sammartino had headlined the first WrestleMania.
Oh, no, it's not even close to the same thing. I think y'all are crazy about that. No, it's not even close.
I just think Undertaker's not working at all the calendar year. Shawn Michaels retired, so then there's nothing for these to follow up onto this. If Undertaker is going to work a full calendar year, I have no problem with this actually headlining it because it's a great moment. But what we don't get is Undertaker is still classified as a wrestler, but he's not wrestling anybody until the following Mania.
And the full-time guys aren't actual wrestlers. They aren't actual stars.
Yeah.
Okay. I still think there's exceptions. Like with this Bray Wyatt versus Undertaker thing.
Well, damn well better not be going last.
Yeah. Well, nobody expects it to. Because the match doesn't call for it.
Right.
You know what I mean? But Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels, nothing's going to follow it with that crowd.
Right.
There's no way you don't put it on last. You know? There's no way. Nothing can follow it. Same thing with Rock Hogan. Nothing can follow it.
That's not what I'm disagreeing with. All I'm saying is I hate the fact that we have to put it on last. If Undertaker can't go, I hate the whole premise.
I think he should have been retired for a few years now.
Yeah.
So. I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. I think
it should have been a double. I know what you're talking about. Match.
You're arguing that you should treat the guys that are going to be there as your main eventers.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. But what I'm saying, whether it's with the LT match, whether it's with these Undertaker Shawn Michaels, whether it's Hogan Rock, some matches are bigger than the title. Okay? They just are.
Could anything have been bigger than Hogan and Savage for the title? Like, would we have put anything on after that?
When?
In 89?
No. That was the best storyline. It was the best wrapped up storyline. They shouldn't have been going around.
And it was a point in time where you wouldn't fathom putting something on after the world title match.
But it wasn't because of the world title. It was because it was Hogan and freaking Savage. If
or
Ultimate,
the title.
Oh, no. If Ultimate Warrior held the title, and Hogan and Savage were just on a blood feud, there's no way that the world title goes on above Ultimate Warrior. I mean, goes on below Ultimate Warrior. Let's say, like, well, you saw it with Savage, Flair, and Hogan Sid, right? At WrestleMania, what was that, 8?
Yeah, and that was kind of,
you know what I mean? Let's say it's Savage Sid for the title and Hogan Flair. What are you going to put on top?
I don't know.
You're going to put on freaking Hogan Flair.
I can't put Hogan Flair on there. That's fine. But at least Flair's still going to be around.
Hogan's a part-timer.
Flair's going to be around.
Hogan's a part-timer just like Taker.
Flair's
and Shawn Michaels was around for a full year leading up to this match before he retired.
Okay, he wasn't around for a full year. He was in and out for a year.
About 6 months, yeah.
Yeah,
6 months. Oh, no. You know what I mean? The point is, he was there. So that doesn't hold water. But
Flair's going to be there afterwards, after WrestleMania 8.
Eight months, he ran back to WCW, right? But
in our booking, we don't know he's going back to WCW.
Well, I think that's the problem.
I think
I realistically think WWE didn't know that Taker was packing it in. You know what I mean? And that Michaels, I don't think they realized that probably until close to the match happening that Michaels was going to retire either. You know, they were winding down, which they should have, but they're still freaking mega stars. They deserved to have those main events. They earned them. You know, I don't have a problem with them. What I'm saying is, if you put Hogan and Flair on WrestleMania 8 on top, and let's say Savage is champion or Sid's champ or whoever's champ, you know, there is no way in hell that Hogan and Flair doesn't headline same way that Hogan and Sid headline.
Well, that's just bad booking if they don't have Hogan and Flair for the world title.
Okay, but if they don't, let's just say that that's not where the title ended up. It ended up in Sid's hands. Because he was promised the title. It's going to happen. You know what I mean? Some matches are bigger. So it was bad booking that Triple H and Jericho were fighting over title. Rock and Hogan should have been fighting over the title.
Anyways, bad booking or what?
Is it? Yes or no? Answer the question.
I think we're at a stalemate, man.
Yeah.
No, answer that question I just proposed. Sure. So the title should have been with Rock and Hogan, not Jericho and Triple H at 18.
Nope.
But you're the one person on Earth, Dave, who thinks that the placement was right on that card.
I know it succeeded with the way it was. I mean, I don't know how it would change the dynamic.
Y'all are flaky.
Yeah, but again, I mean, Rock wasn't leaving, and neither was Hogan after that match, so...
Rock did leave after that match,
no,
man.
He didn't. He Hogan and him worked again. No, I mean, he ended up working Goldberg at the next pay-per-view.
Right.
No, that was the next year.
Oh, that was next year. That's right.
He went to film the Scorpion King or something.
Yeah, but he came back. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Undertaker came back, too, a year later. Anyway.
Yeah, a year
later. All right, where are we
that
at?
That was the weak, sneaky line ever right there.
So we're going towards the next year, which has Triple H and Taker, and
this is one I want to talk about. This is the Miz versus John Cena, and Michael Cole versus Jerry Lawler.
Oh, that was the worst.
Yeah,
and Undertaker versus Triple H.
And what I would say is the worst booking at Mania, possibly even worse than this year.
What's the worst part about it?
Daniel Bryan losing to Sheamus in 10 seconds.
No, that's the next year.
Is that the next year?
Yeah, this one was Daniel Bryan.
Oh, you're right. Okay, I'm an idiot.
In a lumberjack match that leads to a battle royal on the pre-show.
Yes. Okay. Well, you know what? That was up there too. I thought like that. Basically, Sheamus was going around saying that they were going to have the best match in the show, and they basically got punished for it and demoted to the undercard.
Yeah, that is true, and that just shows the pettiness of the company. But to me, the real tragedy on this show was Miz getting the main event when Cena Punk looked like it was going to be the hot feud.
Yeah,
because really, Miz was not feuding with John Cena. Miz was feuding with Jerry Lawler.
Yeah,
this whole time. The month before, Miz is wrestling Jerry Lawler for the title.
Yeah, it's indefensible having Miz headlining WrestleMania.
Whereas I remember CM Punk was doing commentary while he was healing his hip. And then all of a sudden, he starts attacking John Cena with chairs and laying Cena out like on Raw and SmackDown. I know, because I was on one of those, and this was in December, and it felt right at that moment that, this is the direction they should go. They should go with Cena Punk. You know what I mean? And then you're going to tell me Cena Punk for the title, WrestleMania with The Rock, and who's The Rock going to side with? What's The Rock going to do? That would have done just as well as Ms. Cena, and it would have been a better match.
I mean, Punk ends up, especially because we know what happens, he ends up being Cena's probably best opponent. I mean, he was like Cena's Hogan to Cena's, and he was like the Randy Savage. I mean, they had great chemistry together, had great matches, drew good money against each other. Yeah, they could have sparked it earlier, and they dropped the ball.
Yeah, so, Dave, what do you think, man? Besides the Sheamus Daniel Bryan punishment, what did you think of Miz and Cena headline?
I was okay with it. I if it wasn't for the fact that The Rock came in, I think it would have been reasonable. It's just The Rock coming in really took over from that.
I thought they had a horrible match leading up to that Rock stuff.
Oh, no. I mean, the fact that Rock came into the company took away from this match. Oh, but it was the right thing for him to come into the company. It just, you know, took away from this match. As did the fact that this is basically during the era, it's gotten to the era where it's kind of the money in the bank thing where you can't actually become champion and have title defenses where you win.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, was this this year? This had did this have Edge versus Alberto Del Rio on it?
Yeah, opened the show.
This is the one. Yeah.
That was bad booking.
Bad booking, especially knowing
not in the build up, but in the execution.
Yeah,
and it was a good match.
Yeah, it was a good match. It didn't make any of our super WrestleMania lists that you can check out on the Place to Be Nation with me and Pete and our buddy Stephen Graham. But it was this to me was like, you know, and we're gonna see a pattern for the next few shows of woulda, coulda, shoulda with guys. You know, this could have been CM Punk's breakout moment. You know, he was a better heel than Miz. He didn't need Alex Riley to get him heat. You know what I mean? He's more believable. He's a better wrestler. He should have been at the top. This should have been Punk's WrestleMania moment, you know?
Yeah, well, this is the show that kind of we're at, like, right now, with the where it's just bad booking throughout the things. And, I mean, just the idea of Miz on top.
Yeah, this is kind of like the I want to say, I don't know. I would argue that this is the first show where it feels like the current modern booking.
Yeah.
You know, do you disagree with that, Dave, or do you think it started earlier?
No, I would agree with that.
Okay,
it was building up to it.
Yeah,
for a few years. But.
Well, let's go to 28, the one I was at live. Okay, the one WrestleMania I've seen live. Sheamus defeats Daniel Bryan in 18 seconds.
Horrible.
Yeah,
everything I'd say else on the show I agree with, except I would say that Punk and Jericho, the build to that was bad. To me, that's more equivalent of like Triple H Jericho, which had a bad build, but it was the right feud. You know what I mean?
Well, at least with Sheamus and Daniel Bryan, I think this is the straw that broke the camel's back and had the fans start revolting and getting behind Bryan even more.
Yep.
So in a way, I mean, I guess all that it means is that this led to us getting really pissed.
And it led to anger management.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, but yeah, so we're going to take a trip here. And we'll see what Daniel Bryan does the next year. But this was a sign. I was there live, man. It took that Undertaker Triple H match to get the crowd back into the show. You know, for the next 45 minutes, whatever it was. Between Sheamus Bryan and Undertaker Triple H, that crowd was dead, man. If they weren't dead, they were pissed. And so that was a really hard hour to sit through, you know. But
well, I was watching in the theater and I almost left after the Daniel Bryan thing.
Dang. Oh, well,
yeah, because you're expecting, like you said, a match of the year candidate, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And it was, you know. This is something I'll agree with you guys on. this is one of their world championships, and they've also shown a pattern of doing this when they had two titles, of making one the year before, making a world championship open up the show.
Yeah.
You know, I think wrestling has always had like specially sanctioned matches. Even in the 80s, as much as we like to think Flair always headlined, he didn't. You know, sometimes the world title match went on before a street fight or like a Texas death match or something. You look it up. It's true. Okay. But you're never going to see Flair curtain jerking with the world title. Okay. And then here's another situation of a match that's bigger than the title. And, you know, maybe it's just you disagree with part-timers coming in, Rock versus Cena. But for a match that big, what do you put on after it?
And again, well, this comes back to my point, because Cena's still going to be there afterwards. So
that doesn't bother me. He's the one defeated. The part-timer,
I know, but
part-timer beat him.
Right, I understand that.
It just by this time, they had created a big divide, and I do struggle with that. So,
you know. But, I mean, like, if you listen to Meltzer, Meltzer will tell you, having The Rock come in is the best decision. It's the way to make the most money for the company. But then it's to CM Punk. He's like, well, how can we be the real stars if you never give us a chance to be the real stars? So, no, there's a...
And again, by that standard, Rock, Undertaker, all these guys never would have gotten to be.
You know? So, it's wild, man. You know? It's just a thing where Rock Cena absolutely is the right decision. You know what I mean? And Rock going over Cena was the right decision. Because, man, I was there, man. That crowd was not going to accept John Cena winning that match.
No.
You know? So let's go to Rock Cena 2, man. WrestleMania 29. Okay? They're in New York. I don't know. I know a lot of the Place to Be guys have been to this WrestleMania. God, what a horrible show. This was a struggle to get through. This was a show that was just dog shit. Undertaker versus CM Punk. Horrible build. God bless Paul Bearer. He's dead. Triple H versus Brock Lesnar. I don't even remember the build to that. Dave, do you remember the build to that match?
Yeah, well, they'd had the thing in this the year before where Lesnar had put him in the Kimura, and then
broke his arm.
They had the SummerSlam match, and then they built up to this. But that's what all I remember.
Wait, no, I thought the SummerSlam match happened after this match. I thought he broke his arm in this match.
Nope.
That was an angle. Yeah.
He broke his arm the night after the Extreme Rules match with Cena.
Okay. But the SummerSlam, but their first match was this match.
Was it? I'm pretty sure it was SummerSlam, wasn't it?
I thought SummerSlam was the match where... I don't remember. I don't know.
I thought Dave has it right, where it's SummerSlam.
So, Triple H beat him at SummerSlam?
Yeah, Lesnar went over first, and then Triple H won that trick because he broke his arm, and this is his like return match.
What year was that?
Well, this is 2012 here.
Huh.
Because they had the double SummerSlam, which that was...
We're wrong. Lesnar. SummerSlam 2011 was CM Punk versus John Cena in the Summer of Punk.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Okay, y'all are confusing me, man. My head hurts.
Well, the Triple H Brock was just bad. Everything. So
was it SummerSlam 2012? Was Brock Triple H?
Yeah.
And that was the first match.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think we're then on the next year's Mania, 2013.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we got... Okay. Now that... Okay. So you were right in that it wasn't the... You just had the year wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay, so this Mania is the rematch between these two.
Yep.
I actually quite liked this Mania at the time.
Oh, I hated it. It was so painful to get through. I thought the Shield match was good. But it wasn't... look at this. The Miz, not even on the card, in the pre-show match.
Yeah, that was the biggest drop I've ever seen.
Wow. How they have fallen.
But we knew we had to have known that was coming because, I mean, no one was going to think the Miz is long term.
Right. And Jericho is now working with the new Fandango, put him over. And he was in the world title match the year before.
Yeah.
But Jericho's a part timer, right?
Yeah, so. He was part timer coming in and out. And originally he was supposed to work
with Ryback. Yeah, that was good use of Jericho.
Yeah, he was supposed to work with Ryback, and they screwed up Ryback.
Right. Yeah, this is. Okay. I don't know, man. John Cena versus The Rock. I don't remember because that was when Rock beat Punk for the title a couple of times. Punk was pissed off because he didn't have his WrestleMania main event. And so I don't know. I don't remember liking the build to this WrestleMania at all. And I remember the payoff was not good. The only thing that was good was Undertaker Punk, and that just exceeded expectations. Like everybody thought Undertaker was too broken down to even have a good match again, and he did. So
Punk worked his ass off.
Yeah. So, man, this is depressing, man. I don't even like these new WrestleManias because we see the patterns emerging with what they're doing with world champions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're really seeing the pattern emerge. Like, let's look. So.
And this might have been the last match where Punk gave a shit.
Yeah, well, Punk's gone by last year's Mania.
Yeah.
Walks out. Daniel Bryan. Hey, look, Daniel Bryan's curtain jerking again. Oh, wait, he beat Triple H in the curtain jerk match. Okay, I'm just joking. But no, Daniel Bryan wins. All is right with the world. John Cena versus Bray Wyatt. So maybe Cena's still kind of mid-card in this one. You know, he's not at the top of the card. He's mid-card. Lesnar and Undertaker, big Mania moment. Great Battle Royal. Shield match was quick and painless. Man, this was this was a really good Mania last year.
Okay. Yeah, it was fun last year.
That fatal four-way tag
match was totally fun. But, you know, yeah, this the Battle Royal, which ended up meaning nothing.
Yep.
We had to change booking on the fly because of the Undertaker streak being ended. So Cena goes over Wyatt, and so that kind of killed Wyatt dead in his tracks right there. You know, this is all hindsight booking. Lesnar beating the Undertaker really did start heating him up again because he needed some wins.
Yes.
And then, you know, then we made Dan, and then they made Daniel Bryan in the main event, and then, you know, just. Stick a knife in his back.
So are both of you, because you're opposed to these guys, these part-timers winning matches, are both of you opposed to having Brock have the title?
No, it's different.
If I wasn't opposed when it happened, I don't know. I'm indifferent on it.
Y'all are such flakes.
He makes the shows he's on even more special. So
Pete, you are now an official Canadian. That's all I have to say.
Oh, jeez.
We're kicking you out.
I'm definitely against the few years where the few months there where they had no title matches.
Yeah.
Right. Which could have easily been solved if they would have never split the titles in the first place.
Or even kept the Intercontinental title strong or U.S. title.
Dude, that Intercontinental title has not been strong for 20-something years.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I gotcha. At least since 86, 87.
Well, I mean, really, I mean, during that time, Rusev with the U.S. title, when he won it from Sheamus, man, has been the strongest
title. Last time it meant anything was when Piper and Bret fought for it at WrestleMania 8, probably.
Okay. So guys, we've gone through the WrestleManias. We've seen it clearly. Former world champions being taken down to the bottom of the card. So what's happening to Daniel Bryan is nothing new, right? We all agree on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. We've seen the pattern. But I think the difference is none of those champions were ever as over as Bryan was. Would y'all think that's also a fair statement, Dave?
Yep.
Very nice and succinct from Dave.
Well, I mean, and we can't take away from the fact that this year is very affected by the fact that we lost Daniel Bryan to injury for a lot of the year. Like, if he had have had a good long title reign, we wouldn't be as upset.
And we'd probably be angry because
Brock wouldn't feel robbed.
We would have been angry because we were happy at what Brock did to Cena, but we would have been just disgusted if it happened to Daniel Bryan.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I know. Could you imagine the backlash that would have gotten?
I can't even imagine. Brock wouldn't have gotten over like he did.
You don't think so?
I think the fans would have turned on that finish.
Yeah.
What about the rematch? Do you think the rematch that Brock does in, was it September or October? September, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that rematch just goes to Cena again? Like, they just go immediately away from Bryan and go right to Cena?
Yep.
What about the fans? You don't think the fans force their hand?
Obviously, it didn't matter because they didn't force their hand at the Rumble.
Whoa. But the company's going to use the excuse. Well, I mean, he's injury prone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the company was trying to get the title off him. I mean, they already tried to. I don't want to say they tried to deheat him, but I mean, they book him in a feud with Kane. I mean, who he beat handedly in the build religiously. I think on everything. I mean, he beat him on Main Event. He beat him on SmackDown. He beat him on Raw. The only thing he didn't beat him up on was on Superstars.
Yeah, well, the rumor is that Roman Reigns is going to go back into a feud with the Big Show after he wins the...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a rumor. Is that a Meltzer rumor? I think that's a Meltzer rumor. So, I mean...
I mean, a TV feud with some matches, that wouldn't be bad, but...
I think y'all are depressed now, and
yeah.
I think y'all need to take a long, long nap, wake up, realize that it's okay not to have the world title as your last match, because it's happened that way for all of history.
Well, I mean, Dave and I just want to have a company that makes money, so we like to have our world. We like to protect our world title.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that's what it is. World title can still be protected, not be the last match. Doesn't have to be a last match. It could be a matinee match in the middle of the card. It's okay. Happened all the time. Hogan used to defend it in the fourth match, and then he'd go somewhere else that same night and defend it in the fourth match.
And they were building rematches to draw money on the road.
You know?
Because he was working every night.
It's okay. But he wasn't always in the last match. It's okay.
Okay, but when he wasn't in the last match, he was in the biggest match.
Sure.
And they ran house shows like that, Will, to build the angle at the halfway. So they're already putting tickets on sale for their return show.
Dude, I'm clearly being facetious.
Okay, all right.
Christ. Anyway, so okay, guys, now we have to make a judgment. None of this fucking wishy washy middle of the road bullshit. Is the Daniel Bryan build this year the worst build to a WrestleMania that we've seen? Pete?
I'm going to have to go yes. I mean, and then they're trying to demasculate him even more. I mean, I mean, we've heard the rumors about them confiscating signs. I mean...
Meltzer seems to confirm it.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, Jimmy Hart used to say, you knew you were over by the amount of signs they brought to the stadium. Well, how are you supposed to know if they're confiscating them?
Yeah. What do you think, Dave?
You know you're over by the amount of signs they confiscated them.
At the door. Yeah. That's hilarious. What do you think?
Yeah, Dave? No, I would say it is. As far as the build up too, I mean, as far as the execution goes, we'll have to see if it is worse than 9.
Right. Not 9 right now is the winner of the worst. Would you say that's the worst ending to a Mania?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Even worse than Austin turning heel at 17?
Yep.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Okay. What are some other bad endings? Sid Hogan was a really bad ending, right?
Yeah.
I don't think this year's Mania ends that badly, though.
Miz and Cena, maybe.
Miz Cena was really bad. That was a really bad ending.
Yeah, I hope not, because they're supposed to, you know, put get Reigns over as the new babyface. So it better be a monster.
Well, let me ask you this, because you have some big matches. You have Sting, Triple H. You have Reigns, Lesnar.
Right.
What else? Cena, Rusev. But that's a U.S. title match. Right. There's no way they'll put that on then.
No.
So what else could go on after Lesnar Reigns if they're afraid of, like, ending Mania with, like, this negative backlash?
Sting, Triple H.
The ladder match for the IC title.
The ladder match for the IC title. Oh, man.
That would be awesome. Okay.
Really? I mean, right? I mean...
Oh, fuck, that would be so great.
Wouldn't it?
Can't put Rollins Orton on at the end.
No.
So, no, I think you roll the dice, man, where if they would have just had Daniel Bryan, they would have had an awesome ending, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if they decide Lesnar's going to go over Bryan, you really have an awesome ending with a shock crowd, kind of for that Undertaker, holy shit, I can't believe that just happened type reaction.
Yeah, I mean, bottom line is
By the way, do we think there's any chance that Lesnar does go over Reigns?
I can't imagine.
None. Unless, well, I tell you what.
Unless he makes that a condition of re-signing.
Unless he makes it a condition of re-signing, yeah. Okay.
It's just mind-blowing. I mean, Daniel Bryan got hurt. As fans, we never got our full story of him as world champion. We never got to see him carry the torch. We got a month or two of happy thoughts, and now the company refuses to allow us to. I mean, we never got the final chapter. We didn't even get to the halfway point.
Well, I think the company would argue that him winning the belt was the final chapter. I mean, Mick Foley's final chapter always ended a day after, right? You win the belt, lose it the next day.
Yeah, good point. Know?
So maybe they're just like, well, he's this generation's Mick Foley. You don't always get the happy chapter at the end.
Well, the thing is, like, it's because we got such a short title reign. There's lots of time for him to have more title reigns.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know. With one world title and the way it's going, I don't think he ever wears it again.
Him and Reigns, if they wanted to do it, could be a really fun feud.
Yeah, but I think they're going completely away from that direction. I think you'll see Reigns with Rusev, Rollins, name another heel. I guess Sheamus when he comes back. Those are the people that Roman Reigns is going to feud with.
Randy Orton eventually.
I guess Randy Orton eventually. Maybe Ambrose, because Ambrose isn't really succeeding beyond expectations in his current role. Maybe you turn him heel also to feud with his former Shield brother. Bray Wyatt is another one they could have.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I love how all the Shield turns heel on him. He's got to be the biggest asshole in the company if everyone turns on him.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't see a picture with Daniel Bryan in it, you know, because the crowds are already dying off. They've already kind of given up on, you know, forcing the company's hand.
Oh, yeah.
So what used to be eager, enthusiastic crowds turns into lackadaisical, apathetic crowds.
Yeah, when you're getting something you don't want, it's like you're not getting what you want.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Very, very disappointing. But, guys, I want to thank both of y'all for doing this series with me. I want to thank our buddy Johnny P, who did it with us on part one. And keep listening to Place to Be Nation this week, man. We're doing a podcast on WrestleMania-themed topics all week long. So hopefully y'all keep listening, and we'll keep producing the podcast. All right. For my buddy Pete with Titans of Wrestling, my buddy Dave from the Wrestling Culture Podcast, I want to thank y'all for listening. Bye-bye.